Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Yeah, again for the Word of God this morning. It's going to be an incredible day in God's house. I could just feel the level of faith and anticipation in worship as well. It was so great. Wherever Tony and Kendra are, somewhere around here, they made it. Congratulations on the newborn baby, fresh out the oven. Is it 1 week in? 1 week? Less than? 1 week. 1 week. 1 week, a bit less. And I'm already thinking about cuddling, Tony. I'm already distracted from this message. I'm already thinking about cuddling. Hey, we have a whole bunch of stuff happening in the life of our church, which you would have seen. If you are a young adult, you think you're a young adult, you want to be a young adult, register for Outpouring, our young adult event next Saturday at our Myrie campus. It'll be sure to bless your life. Register today after the service in the back at our info desk, or register when you get home or online right now on your smart device. You can do that. We also want to let you know tomorrow night, Revival Prayer Night, 7 o'clock across all campuses. But here at Belmont, school holidays, bring your family, bring your kids. We're going to pray up. We're going to pray up a storm. We're going to pray up an open heaven, because we know God hears our cry, and we know that God is a God who wants to communicate and be in relationship with us. So I want to encourage you, let's make prayer at this campus a priority. Let's submit everything before God, because He will take it into His hands. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit more about On Track later on. But thank you so much to our amazing worship team. Can you give them a round of applause? They've been fantastic this morning. Holy Spirit, help. Holy Spirit, lead, guide, continue to minister. You've already started. Like Kate said, you're already here. You're already ministering. We're just right now being made aware of your presence. Thank you for what only you alone can do. I thank you that you still choose to use broken, imperfect vessels like us to communicate and facilitate your gospel, your love, your mercy, your peace. So from the outset, our position is a position of gratitude, to say thank you because you are worthy. And we love you, Jesus. There is nothing that we could do that could ever measure up to the sacrifice that you gave and to how worthy you are. So from the outset, we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor, tell them it's good to see them in the house of God this morning. Tell them it's great to see them in the house of God. Come on, be energetic about it. Say, it's really good to see you. It's good to see you in God's house this morning. We had our ACC WA conference this week, a whole bunch of churches throughout Australia getting together in our movement, hearing what God is doing in our state, hearing what God is doing in our nation. And I want to encourage you, church, you know, we shouldn't take it for granted what we have in Western Australia. We got to hear about our brothers and sisters over on the East Coast and some of the rules and regulations that are happening right now, not being allowed to gather together to worship, having a certain amount of people on stage and not being even allowed to sing or worship in their congregations, different rules and regulations. So I want to encourage you, keep them uplifted in prayer. Let's keep them uplifted in prayer, and let's not take for granted the gathering of the saints. Let's not take for granted what Paul literally wrote to the churches about. When we gather together, we get the privilege and opportunity to exalt the name of Jesus. But you know, all throughout conference, it was just the same message. It was just about what God is doing with His church. And it wasn't necessarily about God per se doing a new thing. It was just that God was realigning His church back to the old thing, which is the same thing that Jesus was preaching and teaching some 2,000 years ago. How many of the Bible hasn't changed? There hasn't been new books added to it. There hasn't been new opinions added to it. The Bible is the Bible. Jesus' word is His word. And so some 2,000 years ago, Jesus has an encounter with these guys that we know as disciples, and He begins to unpack the journey of what their life would look like. And Jesus comes to them and He says something interesting to them. See, when He first meets them, He doesn't give them a rousing speech. In fact, when He first meets them, I'd be tempted if I was Jesus to say this: hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I would be tempted if I was Jesus, when I came across some followers, to say, hey, I want to let you know that I'm going to defeat death itself. Like, I'm worthy to be followed, because I've got the keys to death in my hand. I am a miracle worker. I'm a way maker. I mean, how many know you'd follow that? You'd follow that. I'd be like, yeah, I'd follow that. Jesus came up to you and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to do some incredible miracles. Let me tell you what I'm about to do in 2 years' time. I'm actually about to spit in some dirt, and I'm going to rub it on some guy's eyes. And you might think it's gross and not COVID safe right now, but it is, let me tell you, it's going to work. You'd be like, whoa, I'd follow that. But He rocks up to Simon Peter and Andrew, the shoreline of Galilee, and he says, no big deal, but And we heard this unpacked at conference. And he said, no big deal, but I need you to follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And by the way, I'm not a fisherman. So Matthew 4:19, and these guys are the generational fishermen because trades were passed down in your family. So when your family inherited land, inherited cattle, had a trade, it got passed down from generation to generation. So you were an expert in your trade. And so I can imagine their thoughts, because if I was in their shoes, I would probably be like, what do you know about the winds and the waves of Galilee? What do you know about these shores? What do you know about this sound? Maybe this boat might be more to your liking, because maybe as a carpenter, you could probably maybe try and fix little bits and pieces of my boat. But when it comes to fishing, Jesus, what do you know? You say, Gareth, well, it sounds pretty simplistic. Well, put yourself in the story right now. Jesus rocks up to your workplace. Jesus rocks up, Karen, to your kitchen, and you're busy preparing dinner. But Jesus rocks up to your workplace, David Hurst, and you're at your PC, and you're doing some work, or Elaine, you're going for a walk, and Jesus rocks up, and he says, hey, come follow me. And you're like, all right, yeah, you know what? Why not? What have I got to lose? Just really quickly, really important, Jesus. I just need to know, because I need to put my annual leave in, and I need to know how long this will take. And I kind of noticed you didn't say that at the start. You just said, come follow me. Or you know, I've got, as you can see, the kids, Tony and Kendra, as you can see, the kids are screaming right now. It's a bit of chaos. It's that 5 p.m. chaos time in my house. And I just need to know, do I need a babysitter to come take care of them? Is it going to be a week? How long is it going to be? Do I need to pack some warm clothes? Is it like a cold clothes kind of vibe? Where are we going? You'd ask those questions. You'd probably be right to ask those questions. Do you notice that even in this story that Jesus never gave the length of the journey? He never gave the destination of the journey. Didn't give the duration. Didn't tell them the specifics. He just said, hey, come follow me. And we heard this unpacked through conference, that as Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and it's going to be the basis for the message this morning, that as Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he was unpacking this discipleship concept, because all throughout any era, any local church, going all the way back to Jesus' time, when Jesus left the earth, left the Holy Spirit for us, started the local church as we know it today, Jesus had this one thing. He'd say to everyone that was around him, would you come and would you follow me? You might know it as a term of discipleship, disciple making. Whatever it is, whatever terminology you know it as, it's this concept of Jesus speaking to his followers, asking them to be disciples of him. And whether right now you're in this place and you're 8 years old, 18 years old, or 80 years old, Jesus still says, hey, if you believe in me and you follow me, if you want to know what I'm about, if you want to come on this journey with me, then automatically you're qualified to be a disciple of me. And we know that this statement to be true, that discipleship isn't necessarily a destination, but it's a transformation. It's not a destination, it's a transformation. And so with that in mind, I want to speak on the thought, pruned for purpose. Pruned for purpose. Discipleship is every single person in this room. It is your journey to take with Jesus. So we understand that in discipleship, Jesus says, come follow me. So obviously, it's now a process to come follow him. And it's also a posture. So it's a process and a posture. What do I mean by that? Well, we heard it unpacked at our conference. But what I mean by that is when you follow someone, you are automatically surrendering to them, right? Automatically. You don't follow someone and say, hey, by the way, I know I'm following, but let me just lead for this part of the journey. No, you're following them. Wherever they go, you're going. You're walking. You're automatically surrendered to whatever they're doing in your life. It's a surrender to them, but we also understand that it's a process. Where we come unstuck sometimes is we don't like the whole process of discipleship because it's uncomfortable and at times it's painful. And sometimes even we have a wrong reality of it. But last week we spoke about the Father's love, and I want to know that our whole posture and our whole process of discipleship is founded, is covered in and by and through the Father's love. We spoke about the fact that love isn't just what God does, it's who he is. We shared it last week, 1 John 4:7-8. For whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's our understanding that God is a good Father, man. And He wants the best for us. Does He want you to thrive? Does He want you to succeed? Absolutely. But God wants you to have the life that He's always called and destined you to have. It's founded in sonship. It's founded in knowing who you are. It's founded in a love that says, you know what? I love you so much because you are my son. You are my daughter. So with that in mind, He says, now let me take you on a journey. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't let His disciples just go about their own ways and just leave them? He wasn't like, hey, thanks so much for saying yes to following me. Now just go about, work some stuff out, and come back in 3 years and we'll have some lessons. So he took them on a journey. So the purpose of discipleship and the posture goes hand in hand when we talk about being pruned for purpose. In fact, Jesus speaks about this in John 15. It's a passage that you might know relatively well, but he says, I am the vine, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. How many are glad that you're already clean because of the word spoken to you? But remain in me as I also remain in you. Original version says, abide in me as I abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither you can bear fruit unless you remain in me. For I am the vine. He says it again. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. How many people are glad that apart from Jesus, we got nothing? We got nothing. But if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. It'll be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you will bear much fruit. Say much fruit. Showing yourself to be my disciples. Jesus speaking to his disciples. He's speaking in an era that understands agriculture. They understand working off the land. In fact, their livelihood is based off working off the land. They understand this picture he's painting about a vineyard. They understand the process of what it would take and what it would look like to make good wine. So they understand the analogy and the picture that Jesus is painting for them. But he says a couple of things that are a little bit uncomfortable. Number one, he says, hey, you need to know that just like a vineyard, if something's not growing, it gets treated. So in your life, if something isn't bearing fruit, my Father would like to attend to it. He'd like to sort it out. But then he also says, but I don't want to talk, I love Jesus. When he speaks to a crowd, and when you think you're in the crowd, and you think you're immune, you think you've got it all together, he's like, I can imagine Jesus saying, hey, to his disciples, hey, you guys, just want to let you know that if you don't have fruit, my Father needs to take care of it. And maybe it's Thomas in the crowd, I don't know. He's like, yeah, that's right, all you suckers. If you don't have fruit, but Jesus says, hey, wait. But also, if you do have fruit, you're also going to get pruned. Otherwise, Jesus is like, it doesn't matter whether you think you've made it or it doesn't matter if you know you've got things going on. Everyone on this scale needs pruning. Everyone on this scale needs my Father to intervene. He cuts off every branch that is in me. What I love about Jesus is at the start of this verse, at the start of this conversation, he already gives a promise, but we'll miss it if we read it too quick. He says, from the very, very start, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. And before he even starts talking about anything cutting off, bearing no fruit, he says, he cuts off every branch in me. I love that. Jesus always gives a promise to precede a situation. He always gives a promise to precede an action. He always gives a promise to precede something that needs to happen in your life. Jesus didn't say, hey, by the way, you're going to get pruned and you're going to get disciplined and you're going to get discipled and you're going to be on this amazing journey of faith and that's it. He says, well, before any of that, know that all of this is possible because I am the source. Know that absolutely everything that is done to your life is only possible because you are connected to me. Jesus goes on to say, it's not because I'm a hard taskmaster, it's actually because my Father loves you so much. It's because I actually want you to bear fruit. I actually want you to be fruitful for my glory. It says this, it's actually for my Father's glory that you will bear much fruit out of being connected to me, and then you will show yourself to be a disciple. See, bearing fruit, what does that mean in our life? It means the things that God has called you to do, the thing that God has graced you to do, the works of your hands, that he's seen his kingdom come and his will be done. And it's different areas for different people. For some, it's hospitality. For some, leadership. For some, it's in your workplace. For some, it's different spiritual giftings that God has awakened that maybe have been lying dormant. For some, it's even the gift of healing, gift of discernment. There's so many different things. Shout out to registering for On Track, because you'll find out all that stuff if you register. Quick promo. But bearing fruit is every believer's promise and reality. Jesus says, you only need to remain, you only need to abide in me and you will bear fruit. You only need to be in communion with me. You only need to be resting in me, and fruit's an automatic option. You only need to be following my ways, trusting me, attached to the source, and automatically there will be fruit in your life. Jesus gives the promise that if you remain in me, you will be fruitful. That's why so many years ago I stopped asking this question. Why aren't I getting what I asked for? In fact, my whole framework for that question was totally changed. Because the question to be asking really is, am I connected to the source? Because if you're connected to the source, it changes what you ask for. So if you're asking, why haven't you answered that prayer? Well, the more correct question to ask in our lives is, am I praying for something that's connected to the source? In other words, am I praying for something that is going to be an open heaven or a kingdom-related thing in my life? Because if I'm automatically attached to the source, my motives are driven by the source. If I'm automatically trusting in Jesus, abiding in Jesus, my motives are going to be driven by what God is doing in my life. Listen, I've chatted to many different people, seen many different scenarios through church, outside of church. Two different people. One can ask for an amazing house. Nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that. Another one asks for a house and says, God, I want this house, but I also, part of the reason why I want it to be pretty large is because, and I've had this conversation with someone before, I just want a couple extra rooms so that it can be used as a halfway house. As people who need to recover and people who need to do different things in their life, I'd love to be able just to take them for a week and just to be able to love them and nurture them. I'll tell you right now which one is a kingdom thing and which one is just self-driven. Once again, nothing wrong with the house. God, of course God wants you to live lives that are blessed as children of God. Absolutely. But when you're connected to the source, your mindset is asking for kingdom-related things. He said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you ask for, whatever you wish, it will be done for you. Why? This is for my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. You see, bearing fruit is every believer's promise, but being pruned is every disciple's purpose. Bearing fruit is every believer's promise, but being pruned is every disciple's purpose. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we've been praying about it, and we made a decision to put our house on the market. And so it was just the one thing after another, kind of a God thing, and you know, there we were talking to a real estate guy, and it was a friend of ours that we knew, so we put it up. So then, as you do, you start doing a whole bunch of renovation work on your house. You realize how many things you may have neglected, so we're doing this work, and you know, praise God, we had one home open, one offer, done, dusted, praise God. We got to fill the praise report for that, but God's so faithful and God's so good. But as we did it, so I noticed at the front of my house there was this hedge. And so I noticed that parts of it were dying. And so I was like, all right, better treat it, better make sure it's all good. So I cut off a bit of it, take it to Bunnings, show this lady there, say, hey, I've got this thing in my hand, this withered thing, fix it. And she's like, oh, okay. And so I show her, she's like, oh, it's got this wrong, and you've got to treat it with this, treat that. I'm like, oh, cool. She's like, hey, so I'm 90% certain that what I've told you is going to work. So I was like, hey, well, that's good enough for me. And she's like, well, actually, for me to be 100%, what I actually need to do is I need you to prune off, or to show me a photo of, but preferably prune off a living part of the plant, because I need to look inside and I need to see just how aggressive this is, how much it's spreading. She said, with the dead part, anyone can see it, anyone can tell you how to treat it, but for me to give you a true reflection and for me to give you true treatment for it, I actually need you to cut off a little bit of the part that's already alive. straight away I was like, man, isn't that a picture of the kingdom of God? That God, the true Father, would say, hey, I know you've got some areas in your life that needs working on, and I get it. I'm going to help you address those areas. But I also know there's areas in your life that right now you think are fruitful, but the human heart is deceiving. Because sometimes when God gives us stuff and when he blesses the work of our hand, how many know the human mind can take over real quick? So what does that mean, Gareth? It means that once upon a time we prayed, God, I just need that job. God, when I get it, oh God, thank you, Jesus. Everything is yours. And when I get it, I'm gonna talk to the people around my work colleagues about Jesus. And when I get it, oh, tithing, absolutely, and giving, absolutely. And God, you know, I'm not gonna keep that from my relationships. I'm not gonna keep me from being stressed. I'm not gonna keep. What happens over time? You still have the job. God's not a hard, cruel taskmaster. Says, hey, I'm gonna take it off you. No, you still. In fact, you might even still be fruitful with it. It might be a fantastic job, might be setting you up and your family, but God comes along and says, hey, you see that area that's growing? I know it's fruitful, but I'm going to have to cut this little area here, and I know it's growing, but I'm just going to have to cut it a little bit. I don't know how to use one of these things. And I know it's growing, but see that little bit of pride that got in the way? I just need to cut this off for a little moment because I'm a loving father and I know that you need a little bit of a dose of humility right now. And it's not that I hate you because that's not my word. And I'm so sorry if this message has ever been preached to you or shared with you as God is a controlling kind of gardener who wants to just do this in your life and doesn't like certain things. No, that is not of God. He's not coming to put sickness on your life. He's not coming to curse you. That is not of God. That's not the loving father that I know. But instead, God says, hey, I know you're fruitful right now. I'm not pruning you for lack. I'm pruning you for abundance. I'm not pruning you for lack. I'm pruning you for abundance. So I know you think you're fruitful, but how many know that God's ways aren't our ways? Come on, it says that in the book of Isaiah. His ways aren't our ways. No, his thoughts, our thoughts. Our idea sometimes of fruitfulness may seem good. It might seem great, and I'm sure it is. But I'm left wondering how many times in my life is God's idea of fruitfulness so much more than what I can even think, ask, or imagine in my own life? God's saying it starts with me pruning those areas that I'm looking around. And the thing is that I don't think it's the pruning that gets us, that drives people from church. I don't think it's the cutting off of things that were already fruitful but hurt a little bit. I think it's the fact that at times we get discouraged so we disconnect ourselves from the source. In fact, it's not the pruning that drives people away from God, or people away from church. It's actually being disconnected from the source. It's when you think to yourself, wow, God, that was harsh. Well, maybe I'm done here. You know what, God, maybe I'm done. But the promise that Jesus made all throughout that conversation, it wasn't even about the pruning. Did you know that? It wasn't even about the fruitfulness. The promise, what does Jesus say? Every single line, the same thing. Go back and read it. He says this, abide in me. Without me, you can do nothing. Stay connected to me. Stay attached to me. Every single line, look it up, read it again. Abide in me. Stay connected to me. Without me, you can do nothing. Jesus knew. He knew that he knew this path of discipleship that we're called to be on, founded in the Father's love, is at times, yes, a difficult one. And at times, yes, it might feel like there's temporary pain. But Jesus knew, if you could just stay attached to me, if you could just abide in me, if you could just stay attached to the source, then guess what? The pain that you're in, you'll have a new perspective of it. Because you know that I'm pruning you for fruitfulness. I'm pruning you for abundance, not for lack. How do I know that? Because Paul writes to the church of Corinthians. The church of Corinth, book 2 Corinthians 3, and he says, for all of us, and this amazing mirror of God's glory we've seen, and we want his glory to be bestowed upon us. So all of us now look at his face, and we're bestowed upon it, and we're now called to go from glory to glory, strength to strength, glory to glory. Strength to strength. See, our fruitfulness is determined by our willingness to be pruned and shape, but it doesn't stop there, being pruned and shaped while staying connected to the vine. Fruit bearing is inevitable with abiding. The quality and quantity of the fruit may differ, but the presence of fruit is inevitable. That's why it's not our job to compare fruit. It's not the job of some grapes hanging off to say, hey, well, this is cool, but I'd love to see what that apple's having. Love to be that banana right now. I'd love to be that different kind of fruit. There's fruit there. It's inevitable. It's Jesus' promise that says it. Whether it's old things or new things that are growing, listen, understand that everything grows. You want to know that? Just look in our backyards. Weeds are growing. Unhealthy things grow. And at times we fool ourselves because we think, well, there's growth. And this is growing in my life, and so God, it must be of you. But listen, unhealthy things grow as well. And that's the genius of Jesus, that he would know, hey, unhealthy things grow as well. And I know at times you can't see it, but I still want to prune these areas in your life. And I want to say this, the Father's pruning is not punishment. If I could take this to every church, to every person who's felt discouraged or disgruntled at God or feels like, man, life just isn't fair right now, and God, I know you're correcting me, and I know you're taking me on this journey, and I know you're a loving Father, but if I could say anything to any of those people right now, I would say this, that the Father's pruning is not punishment. Hebrews 12:7-12. I just want to read this last part. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but yeah, painful. But nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. We don't use that term chastening much these days, but it's important. It's used in the New Testament. And it's not to be confused with chastisement. We read about chastisement, which is implied. We're told that Jesus, you know, was afflicted upon his shoulders, and by his stripes we were healed. We understand that. But this chastening word, phrase used in our life, used in the new revelation in the New Testament, has a revelation for us, and that is an ongoing training in our lives. It is an ongoing training in our lives, and that's incredible, because God only unpacks this after Jesus would die and rise again. See, God's correction is never to make us pay or sacrifice because of our sins. That was done once and for all at the cross some 2,000 years ago. His correction is only ever motivated by love. In fact, his correction for us isn't even motivated by justice. Because if that was the case, he would have to weigh up our rights and our wrongs. But it's motivated by love. He trains us without anger. So we understand that God prunes, and God, I understand that you correct, and I understand that you're pruning areas of my life that, yeah, maybe are fruitful, but you're addressing them because you want me to bear even more fruit. And I get that, God. What about the start when Jesus said, but also the areas of your life that are not producing fruit, that are a little bit dead, I also want to get my hands on those areas. Mark chapter 5, and Jairus, this is an account of Jairus and his daughters. The band joins me. So Jairus comes to Jesus. My daughter, she's 12 years old. She's really close to death. Jesus makes his way, and before he gets there, interrupted, we know, the woman with the issue of blood. So he's disrupted on the journey, and now he gets to the house of Jairus. And there's a crowd there. Close family, close friends, mind you. The people who should really be believing God for the miracle. And they start mocking him, and they're like, ha, so-called God, who do you think you are? You're too late. Surely you should have seen this coming. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of dead promises. A lot of negative feedback. A lot of people in that room that shouldn't be there, yet they are. The promise of life in one room, but the opinion of death in the other. Jesus says these words, "Get him away from me. Get him out of here. Clear the room." We all have those areas in our life, those areas that God wants to deal with, those areas that maybe are a little bit dead, maybe a little bit barren. Maybe it's a crowd. Maybe it's a pain. Maybe it's an emotion. Maybe it's past hurt. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's something you're still holding on to. And I wonder what prayers we're praying for. I wonder what things we're believing for. I wonder what God wants to do so mightily in our life with the promise of life in one room. But I wonder what opinions of death are still lying around in our lives. And I wonder what God's saying, "Hey, will you just let me cut those areas off so I can get to the miracle? Would you just let me cut those areas off so I could just get to more fruit?" A few years ago now, when I first met Jess, I remember God asking me, I had a few different social circles. And I would have been around 18, 19. And God really challenged me, and he said, "Hey, I want you to cut off this circle of friends." And at the time, it was because I was immature. I wasn't mature enough to be salt and light. And it was a very clear direction that God had called me to do, but it was very tough to do. And I was a social person, so this was really hard to do. And it took a long time. It took a lot of time. Took a lot of seasons going out, coming back, going out, coming back. Eventually, I was like, "All right, God, I'm gonna do it." And it felt really hard, and I didn't understand it. Because I was like, "God, I thought that your word told me that, you know, I was going to be salt and light. And I thought your word told me that I could walk as light into darkness and shine your light. That was what your word told me." And I wrestled with it. I didn't fully understand it. But so clearly I remember just God telling me what to do, and I had nothing to hold on to in that time but just his word and what he was saying. Fast forward 7 or 8 years. I see one of them in a subway line down at Jandakot. I see a couple of them as they walk into our Myrie campus one Sunday morning. Few of them, obviously we're still friends on social media, see some of my posts. Two of them would come in, Raph and his fiance, who I know, at our Myrie campus to an 11 a.m. service one time, which I invited them to. They would give their life to Jesus at that altar call, at that response moment. One of them would give their life to Jesus later on and now watches our services online. One of them right now is in the Valley of Decision, and I pray for them almost every single week. But I wasn't to know. I didn't know how it would work out. I didn't know what areas of my life that the Father was pruning and cutting off. 7, 8 years later now, I see more fruitfulness than I would have ever seen if I stayed there myself. And isn't that the way of the Father? To be able to say, "Hey, listen, would you trust me from here? Would you trust me to prune? Would you trust me to take care of what I need to take care of?" I remember driving in one time to church. I saw this big bunch of smoke really through the hills. And I was like, "Man, that must be just a crazy fire." So I started praying. I was like, "God, I pray that any family in that area right now, that you would just protect their homes. And if there's any livestock out there, that you would just protect that, or any farming land, God, just pray right now." And Holy Spirit was like, "Stop." It's like, "What?" Holy Spirit said to me, "How do you know that's not a backburn?" It's like, "What?" So how do you know it's not a backburn? See, from afar, it looks like danger. And it looks like smoke. And at times, it might even look like pain. But only a firefighter close to the scene knows, I'm actually doing this to protect the seasons to come. I'm clearing away dead foliage right now, because because there's seasons that are going to come, and if I don't do this right now, there's actually going to be greater damage. But from the outside, listen, that's why friends, family, people around you that maybe aren't in the same faith circle as you right now, they're going to look from the outside and say, well, you know what, that looks, are you sure that's the Father? Would he do that to you? Would he? But God's like, I've got this. I know what I'm doing. I'm a good father. And if you stay attached to the source, if you stay attached to the vine, I won't just take care of the dead areas of your life. I'll also take care of the areas of your life that you think are going great. Why? Because I've got more for you. I've got more for you. Pruned for purpose. Will you just bow your heads and close your eyes? Pruned for purpose. If that's you in this place and you're saying, Gareth, I hear your message. But this morning, I want to make a decision because I hear what you say about a father who is loving and who cares for me and wants to minister to me and wants to take areas of my life and shape me and mold me. I want to be on this discipleship path, but I'm not there yet, Gareth, and I want to give it a crack. I want to give my life to Jesus, and it's not religion at all. In fact, God has placed eternity on the heart of every man. That means that right now you're wondering. Deep inside, you go to bed at night, you're wondering, is there more to this life? Is there something else out there? Friend, yes, there is. There's a loving Father who cares and loves you so much. He wants to be in relationship with you because that's true love. It's not fleeting love. It's not incomplete love. It's true love. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, if that's who you say, Gareth, I want to make a decision to follow Jesus, to accept him as my Lord and Savior. I'm just going to count to three. Give you the opportunity to put your hand up nice and high. One, two, three. Just a few more moments looking around. Thank you, Jesus. I see no hands. Would you stand to your feet? All across this place, and would you keep your eyes closed, head bowed? Will you just dim the lights for me? I'm aware that this is an incredibly personal message. I'm aware that it's an incredibly hard message to hear. I know many places and spaces who wouldn't talk about this, who wouldn't preach about this, but I feel compelled at Nations Church to preach the Word of God and share His truths with you because we're a church that values the truth of the Word of God. But with every head bowed and eyes closed, what needs to be pruned in your life? Maybe it's a bad relationship, an old wound from your past, a negative attitude that keeps you from enjoying the fullness of what God has for you. All I'm saying today is you have a choice. You have a choice. And listen, I'm not for a second denying that at times there might be an uncomfortableness, even a temporary pain. But it gives way to new life. And let me tell you, it's a better alternative than carrying around permanent pain. What are the dead things that the Father needs to prune? Well, what about this? What's areas of your life? You say, yeah, well, Gareth, that's not me. That's cool. Well, let me talk to you for a second. What are the areas of your life that maybe are fruitful right now? And you feel the Holy Spirit in this moment right now prodding you in those areas, saying, you know what? I'm going to need to prune that. Areas of your life you prayed for, God gifted you for, you felt the hand of grace even on that right now, that area of ministry, that area of leadership, that area of finances, whether it's in your work, whether it's in the house of God, your relationship circle, I don't know what it is, but what are those areas right now that God's saying, hey, it's cool. I know you've evangelized. I know you shared the gospel with some of your friends, and I get it, but let me just prune that area because there's even more. See, if God's pruning areas of my life of pride, I'd want to stay connected to the ultimate source of humility. And if God's pruning areas of my life of unforgiveness, I'd want to stay attached to the source of ultimate forgiveness because it says He became the least for the lost. Or Or maybe here you're just saying, Gareth, I feel like I'm in a pruning season right now. And if I'm honest with you, at times it hurts. And at times I just do not get it. And at times it feels like I don't understand. If any of those three of you, just lift your hands nice and high to heaven. I'm not going to call you up the front this morning. Just lift your hands up to heaven right now. You're saying, Gareth, why am I doing that? You're just saying, Father, I want to allow myself to be pruned. If that's you, just lift your hands up to heaven. In fact, the irony would be that your pride right now would be screaming to you, don't lift your hand up. Your life is fine. That's cool. But Jesus says, if you desire to be a follower of me, a disciple of me, here's my teaching. You take it or leave it. Because Jesus makes this clear distinction. He says, if you abide in me as I in you, in other words, I'm already in you, now you have to make the choice to abide in me. So if you're in this place, and either you're saying, Gareth, I want to stay connected to the source, or Gareth, there's dead areas in my life that I feel like God needs to prune, whether you're 8 years old, 18, or 80, Jesus made no exclusion in that statement. And I feel to say this to some people or someone here in this crowd, don't you dare think your fruitfulness is attached to your age. Don't you dare think your fruitfulness is attached to your age. Jesus says there's only one condition for fruitfulness, and that is if you stay attached to the vine. Because whatever you're doing right now and whatever you've done in the past, I've come to prune to give you an even greater fruitfulness than what you've seen before. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Saying, Father, I just want to allow myself, whatever season I'm in right now, to be pruned, to be shaped. So many hands up. Keep your hands lifted. If your hands are lifted, or even if not right now, would you repeat these words after me? I think there's something so powerful in making a declaration based on God's word. Would you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for pruning me, for shaping me. And Father, from this day, I make a decision to abide in you as you in me. And Father, right now, I'm attached to the source. I'm attached to the vine. Prune me, mold me, shape me for your way and for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.